This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. The 12 miners who died this week in West Virginia were remembered at a vigil last night. Family members and friends gathered at a church across from the Sago Mine. That's where most of them had hours earlier learned the fate of their loved ones. Yesterday, company officials tried to explain what happened and why the families had been misled. Here's more from Emily Corio of West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
At a news conference yesterday, officials with International Coal Group, the owner of the Sago Mine, gave their first accounts of what happened to the miners following an explosion on Monday morning. ICG President Ben Hatfield said the miners were trapped nearly 2.5 miles inside the mountain.
We believe they probably encountered heavy smoke, and of course the ventilation system was disrupted by the explosion, so they concluded that they had no safe means of exiting the mine. They then do what skilled miners do. You retreat to a safe breathing environment and try to construct a barricade and hold out for help.
Only one of the 13 miners survived. The officials said the miners were found at the back of the mine, but they did not say how they died. They also tried to explain why the miners' families were briefly led to believe that 12 had been rescued. They said the miscommunication about the fate of the miners happened underground. The Mine Command Center received a report that 12 miners were alive, but learned 45 minutes later that this may not be true. Hatfield said the initial false report spread because of a desire to share what people thought was good news.
This information from the mine rescue team comes across an audible speaker that can be easily heard throughout the mine office. And you have a desperate group of people that have been on their feet for anywhere from 30 to 40 hours trying to save lives. They were looking desperately for good information. I don't think anyone had a clue how much damage was about to be created.
But many in the nearby community of Sago were angry about the miscommunication. Lynette Roby was at the Sago Baptist Church with the miners' families when the company announced that the 12 men had died.
It needs to be resolved. Somebody needs to step forward. Whoever made this, quote, phone call from underneath to the command center, there needs to be closure to this.
Some people also questioned the response time of the rescue efforts. The first rescue team did not enter the mine until almost 12 hours after the explosion. Mike Ross helped drill the holes down into the mine ceiling to check the air quality in the mine and to see if they could communicate with the trapped miners.
It's easy to look backwards and say things could have gone faster, but it's a matter of coordinating everything, and sometimes it's difficult. It was difficult to find people to put equipment together and everything like that and to run some of their employees down. And so it's just it's a bad day. It's a sad day today in West Virginia.
Yesterday at the Sago Baptist Church, Denzel Suttle was helping to sort through donated food that will go to the families who lost someone in the mining disaster. And in this small community, it seems everyone has a connection to someone who was in the mine.
I'm here to help my family members clean up, and I had a guy, he was trapped in the mine. I had a real good buddy there, he was trapped, and he was a good person. They all was. Yeah, he was just out trying to make a living.
Suttle says he will depend on his family and his faith to help him deal with the loss of his friend, Alva Martin Bennett. Bennett was 50 years old and an experienced coal miner. Company officials would not say if the miners who died had left any notes for their family members. The officials wanted to talk with family first. For NPR News, I'm Emily Corio in Morgantown, West Virginia.